Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Darren McFarland has gone downstairs for morning skate duties. Willie Donick will join the show here in a little bit. We'll have David Poyle, Preds GM, coming up in a few minutes. But speaking of GMs, this is what I want to do. You can use the text line or you can call in the old-fashioned way, 615-737-1025. You've heard us in the first hour talk about the Titans and the 29th pick in the NFL draft and what they need to do. We've thrown out different positions, whether it's pass rush or running back or corner or tight end or wide receiver, whatever. You got to play GM. I want to know what you're thinking. Who would you take at 29? Call us, 615-737-1025, or text at 737-1025. And we will take your picks. I mean, because I don't have a good idea. You know, Mel Kiper has come out with his second mock draft. He's got Yetur Gross-Matos, defensive end from Penn State. I've seen his name a couple of times with the Titans and linked there as a potential pass rush at 29. But you go and you bring up the CBS guys. They're all, you know, Ryan Wilson. He has the Titans taking A.J. Espinza from Iowa, the edge rusher. You have Chris Trapasso. He's going pass rush. Zach Bond from Wisconsin. Then you get into offense. Will Brinson says DeAndre Swift from Georgia. Again, I don't love that. You have Jack Edwards going Zach Bond as well. So they're all over the place. R.J. White has the Titans going DeAndre Swift. So I think pass rush right now is where I'd go. But again, you heard Teron say it. It's all about position of need. And I think that's what John Robinson's going to do. He's probably going to have a lot of different options, but and so much is going to change between now and the NFL Combine and then the NFL Combine and Pro Days and the draft itself. So there could be some names that we're not even talking about right now that John Robinson could target for the Tennessee Titans at 29. And look, he's not been a stranger to making moves. Who's to say they even end up picking at 29th overall? I don't see a scenario where they move up, but, hey, I've seen crazier things. So if you want to weigh in on that, of who you would take at 29, as of right now, again, it's early. It's before the combine, 615-737-1025. You can call or you can text. A couple of news and notes. Drew Brees announcing he will return for the 2020 season. So I'm not that surprised by that. I kind of felt like he was going to come back. I know it was weird that, you know, Russell Wilson gave up the starting spot in the Pro Bowl, and then Drew Brees said he was going to take some time to think about it and, you know, meet with his family and all of that before he decided what he was going to do. But ultimately, I think, you know, he doesn't want to go out the way that the season has ended the last couple of years. And so I'm not very surprised that Drew Brees has decided to make a comeback. On the NASCAR front, we started the show talking about the horrible crash involving Ryan Newman at the end of the Daytona 500 yesterday. Roush Fenway Racing has released another statement. There's still not much that we know, but it says, quote, on behalf of Roush Fenway Racing and Ryan Newman's family, we'd like to thank the NASCAR community for the incredible outpouring of support and compassion for Ryan. Your thoughts and prayers have comforted us all. Ryan remains at Halifax Medical Center, and we will provide further updates on his condition as they become available. That's the update. So that one, you know, we'll continue to monitor. Look, it was a really bad crash at the end of the Daytona 500, and they've made these cars so much safer over the past 20 years since the death of Dale Earnhardt, but it's still a dangerous sport. Guys still get hurt. He got hit right in the – he hit the wall head-on, and then he got hit in the driver's side door. The car caught fire. He landed on the driver's side door. So just a very, very, very tough crash, and, you know, it came out late last night that he was in serious condition, but his injuries were non-life-threatening. So that obviously was good news, but we don't know the extent of his injuries. So we'll have Jamie Little from NASCAR on Fox. She was down there in the middle of it all. We'll have her at noon. So that's the latest on that. And, of course, David Poyle coming up at 11:15. There's been some trades around the NHL as the trading deadline is coming up on Monday. But how about this? Remember last week we talked about Shea Weber? Well, he said that, you know, there were reports that this injury that he has, his ankle injury, that might keep him out the rest of the season, and that, you know, it could be, you know, his future could be in question. That was being speculated. Well, then it came out, he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. That was all last week that happened. Shea Weber is going to return to the lineup tonight for the Montreal Canadiens against the Detroit Red Wings. How about that? And you ask, well, how did he make such a quick recovery? Well, because he's Shea Weber. It's the kind of player he is. I think that is just crazy. And I saw this tweet from Robbie Stanley, who's been doing a fine job on Morning Drive. But he tweeted this out last night. If Shea Weber, in fact, returns to the lineup tonight, which he's going to, and if Shea Weber does not miss another game this season, or up until the point I'm about to say, Shea Weber will play in his 1,000th career game on April 1st. That game is in Nashville against the Predators. How crazy would that be if Shea Weber is able to play his 1,000th career game in Nashville against the team that drafted him and he spent so much time with? You can't write a better script, and especially after being written off and saying that he was out for the rest of the season, and now he's coming back just a few days later. Pretty cool. As the Montreal Canadiens will take on Detroit later on tonight, and the Preds are actually in Montreal on March 10th. So again, if Shea does not miss another game between tonight and April 1st, game number 1,000 would be in Nashville. So that would be quite the story. I mentioned that there were some trades, or there have been some trades in the NHL. A big one yesterday, Tyler Toffoli traded to Vancouver by the Kings. He was a name that was out there quite a bit for different teams that could be interested in him. So he was sent to Vancouver for forward Tim Schaller and the rights to forward Tyler Madden, a second-round pick and a conditional pick in the 2022 NHL draft. So LA got a haul for him. We'll get David Poyle's thoughts on that when he comes up here in a few minutes after a pretty big move yesterday in the NHL. So as the trading deadline nears, that's what we have to look forward to. And we ask David Poyle every week, you know, if he has a plan yet, if he knows what he's going to do. I have a feeling the answer is going to be about the same, that he doesn't know yet. So we will talk to him here in just a few minutes. He's going to join us live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. The Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Pregame at 6, the puck drop at 7 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stick around. Darren and Willie will join the show again in a few minutes, and we'll talk to David Poyle here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick has joined us here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators will take on the Carolina Hurricanes later on tonight. And we're in just a few moments going to be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle. It's brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. So as he gets his headset on, the birthday celebration continues for him because the Predators have won 3 in a row. I know you feel good about that. Things have been looking good lately.
That was a great birthday week. So I like that a lot. Yeah, it was some good signs from our team, the home game against the Islanders in St. Louis, which I was really proud of how we played, how we competed. Feels more like the team that we thought we had at the beginning of the season. And, you know, obviously with starting off the season really well at 8-3-1, I think this past week was arguably the best week we've had since then. So we're close. Tonight becomes again the biggest game of the year, which seems to be pretty repetitious. But, you know, look where Carolina is. They're just 1 point under the line for being in the playoffs, and we're 3 points under the line. So this is a huge game for both of us. So let's hope that we can continue that tonight.
The thing that's really stood out to me, I had the opportunity to talk to John Hines for the first time yesterday. He was on the show, and so that was the first time interviewing him. And you can definitely tell that the buy-in is there. And talking to the players and being in the locker room, there's a difference that now it feels like, okay, we understand what he expects. He understands what we have. And it's been amazing to see that happen in 17 games.
Yeah, well, I think I said in the last couple of shows, I mean, you know, you change coaches and, you know, you throw that coach and the staff into a really tough situation. They're trying to do things a little bit differently and change people's mindsets and sometimes their roles. And it's often can be a little chaotic and very confusing and complicated, if you will. But I think, as you just said, after some trials and tribulations and, you know, some individual meetings and for sure some team meetings as to how we want to play, that we're starting to get some more consistency to our game. And, I mean, winning three games in a row speaks volumes of that. So I think John's feeling pretty comfortable with how he wants to play, and I think his message is certainly getting through.
I think if you knew the answer to my next question, you'd probably have about 18 Stanley Cups and be a very rich man. But Kyle Turris is a guy that we've talked about so much, but since the coaching change, it just seems like something has clicked with him, and they have gelled, and he's just been in the right position. He's getting more minutes now, and we're seeing him show up on the score sheet. Do you have any type of explanation of why this has worked so well for him?
Well, I think we all know it's probably a combination of a few things. I mean, obviously, you know, Kyle had played his way down and sometimes out of our lineup for many reasons. And I think a new coach obviously comes in with that clean slate, so everybody gets a different opportunity. And I think also, just hitting the nail on the head, is I really think that Kyle has taken up his game. I mean, coaching change, yes, but I think Kyle is certainly taking advantage of that. He's more committed. He's playing more minutes. He's getting more opportunities. You know, he's a guy that's in the battle a lot more. So it's all good as far as Kyle is concerned right now. I mean, he's certainly playing as well as he's ever has for us, and it's much needed. And you know, obviously, we need a couple more guys like that to step up. And when that happens, we'll be all good.
I tried to find you a crystal ball for your birthday, but I couldn't find one. So. Yeah, sorry.
Well, you have the eight thing, you know, you ask it a question.
Yeah, the eight ball. Yeah.
Maybe.
Outcome in doubt, or what does it say? Like, seems unlikely. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager. And, David, one thing that's really been apparent here recently, a lot of tight games. You know, over the long haul, it's hard to win all the one-goal games that happen. There's a lot of close games in the league. But this team had not early in the season seemed to be able to do as well in those games. They have that finding a way to win element to them here recently, and Sunday I thought was a good example.
Yeah, as I said also before, I mean, staying in the fight a little bit longer. Like in the past couple of weeks, I thought the game we played in Edmonton that we lost by a goal, I thought we played really well in that game, and it felt that, you know, all things being equal, we probably deserved a little bit different fate, but we lost that game. That was more typical of what's been happening this season. And then, you know, against Sunday against St. Louis, I think they were the better team in a lot of situations, but we, you know, we stayed with it and you know, didn't give up, you know, too much. We're giving up a lot of zone time and, you know, some, not a lot of shots, but, you know, we're doing a decent job, but we weren't putting anything, you know, offensively, you know, towards St. Louis. And then, you know, we finally get a little bit of a break and Turris puts the puck in the net and we, you know, we win the game. So I agree with you. That certainly wasn't happening early in the year. Those tie games late in the game were going in the wrong direction, or we couldn't find the right goal at the right time or the right save at the right time. So, again, after winning three games in a row, and, you know, we're just feels like we're getting closer to the team that we believe we have.
One thing that I know was a big emphasis when John Hines took over was just being better overall defensively. Obviously, it starts with the goaltenders, but I thought the team defense was showing there. They had to defend a lot, but they blocked a lot of shots, and obviously Pekka-Rinne had a great game. Pekka looked good the other day. UC Saros has been on a really nice run here where the numbers started to come around. And, you know, Philip Forsberg was telling Chase after the game, they really believe in these two goalies, and it looks like the numbers are trending the right way, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was looking at all that this morning, actually, and since we made the coaching change, our defensive play, our goaltending save percentage, our goals against, all that is you know, way down, substantially better. Now, on my wish list, I mean, we'd like to take it back up a notch, you know, offensively. And going back to what you just said about how close the games are, I mean, 2-1 games, 3-2 games. I mean, you know, the magic number seems to be 3 in this league. If you can get 3 goals, it's usually a good sign. And again, I think earlier in the year we saw lots of games we had 4 or 5 goals at the sacrifice of some defensive play. So it's always that fine line. But I think, again, this is a clear indication of the coaching change and what John wants. And defensively, we're a much better team than we were in the first half of the season.
Darren asked you a version of this question last week. You know, you were, and I think you said something to the effect as you were staring at, you know, the 2 games against the Blues and the game against the Islanders, quality opponents. And you said something like, you know, if you win 3, everything looks good. If you lose 3, you know, it's during that trading deadline, those last few games. But is it safe to say it looks like the team is going to be in contention here regardless of these next 3 games? So is your mindset kind of going that way as you approach the deadline?
Well, I agree with you. We're going to be in contention regardless of what happens this week. Having said that, I still feel the same way. A win tonight, I mean, we're going to be buoyed even more than we are that we're going to make the playoffs. We lose tonight, I'm sure there'll be people saying, "Oh, they're not going to make it." So this is the life we have right now. This is where we are. It's tense. I hope it's exciting, but it's nothing is guaranteed. And as I said earlier, I mean, Carolina's same situation. They're 1 point below the line. They need this game every bit as much as we need this game to get into the playoffs. So, you know, as far as the trading deadline, busy time for every general manager. Everybody's talking, regardless of whether they're in first place or last place. I think it would be, I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't talking to everybody. And you're always got to be open-minded. You just never know what might come your way that might turn something. It might be like a dominoes where there's been a couple of trades in the last couple of days where somebody does something now that opens up something that wasn't there before. So I don't want to, you know, fully answer that question. I just want to operate on a day-to-day basis and call people, take calls, and see where we end up a week Monday.
Has the price been a little bit higher than it has been in past years at times? For like, a lot of people were
Tyler
really
Toffoli got a haul.
Yeah, well, like Tom Fitzgerald, you know very well, he was getting a lot of praise for what he was able to get in a couple of trades that he made.
If I'm a buyer, the answer is absolutely yes. If I'm a seller, keep it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's as many guys available this year as there has been in past years. Again, based on the competitive balance of the league, I might eat my words there in the last couple of days where you usually see a flurry of trades. But I think most of those trades are going to be lower-end guys, of, you know, depth players, depth guys that can maybe, you know, be called up or help out a little bit just to expand your roster a little bit for teams that think they're going to have a long run in the playoffs. I mean, you have a 23-man roster, but, you know, for some teams it wouldn't hurt to have 26 players on their roster just to give them that kind of depth. So, you know, again, people get in their head what we'd all like is to have clarity. And when you have clarity, then you'll do what you need to do. I mean, I think Tampa Bay had clarity. They paid a big price for Blake Coleman that they wanted, a first-round pick and a prospect, but that's who they wanted. So I can't argue with that. The next team might, in the next call I have, I was saying, well, this is what New Jersey got for Blake Coleman. I can react to that, or I can say, well, that's that deal, but this is all we're going to pay. So that's how the system works.
David Poyle here at our table at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Mikael Granlund and Kyle Turris, their play has been better. John Hines has been on the bench for 17 games. Their minutes have gone up, David, about 2.5 minutes each under John Hines. Certainly you can attribute to that as a part of the reason. They're getting more opportunities, more playing time in different roles. But there's got to be a little bit more than just that, right? What are you seeing out of those two that production has gone up in the last 3 weeks from those guys?
Well, we knew for sure. I mean, every time that you make a coaching change, there's going to be some people are going to benefit from that change and some people aren't. In this case, clearly, Granlund and Kyle are probably the most of any of the two players. And, you know, both of them are really, you know, really taking their game up to a high level, being very productive offensively, with Turris getting the game-winning goal the other night. I think Granlund's got 3 game-winning goals of our last four or five wins. But equally important here is they're, as you said, they're getting more ice time and they're being used to kill penalties, which they had never been used to kill penalties basically any time since since both of them arrived here. So you can just imagine how they must, you know, how boy they must be coming to the rink every day to know that they're going to play, you know, significant minutes and they're going to play in all situations. So they're the ones that are getting the candies and the cookies, if you will. But as John Hines says, I mean, which is where he's, you know, he draws, I guess, the line in the sand here, is that I'd like to give everybody 20 minutes, but they've got to earn it. And, I mean, you know, that's the big thing with a coach. You got to make these definitive decisions in putting your lineup together and who you're going to play or what have you. And I think things change, you know, a lot during the season where you have your ups and downs, and we've certainly seen that this year. But if you're going to have your ups and downs, then in theory he's completely right. Then the players have got to also benefit or suffer by their play in terms of how the team is playing. And in this case, I mean, partly it's to do with John Hines and the coaching change, but there's no question that Granlin and Turris are way more competitive right now than they've ever been, you know, before, and they're getting these opportunities. So it's good, and we just need this to rub off on a couple of other guys so that we get our, like, I think our defensive play has been really good. We just get our offense back up a notch more.
We've been having a lot of fun on this show, the post-game show, Willie and Chris on television and post-game. Everybody's been wanting to name the Smith-Grimaldi-Bonino line because, you know, they've been very consistent all year. They've had a lot of success. And we've been taking a lot of suggestions. There's been an American theme, of course, with those three guys. One that was brought up yesterday on the show that stuck was Goodfellas, you know, because you've got a couple of Italians on that line. And I'm not going to ask you to get involved in all that. But just talk about is it just their hard work and they're just getting rewarded? I mean, why has that worked so well? Why have they been so consistent all year, in your opinion?
Well, we're always trying to find chemistry with defense pairs, lines, all the time. And I think you could argue that with some of their team this year and some of our lines, if you just talk about the forwards, the chemistry hasn't been there. And we got to get to the bottom of that because arguably I'm talking about our best players. I mean, we've seen, like, with Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg the last two or three years, clearly being not only our best line, but maybe one of the best lines in the league. They haven't been together a ton this year, but even when they've been together, they haven't been the same. And so you have to work on stuff like that. I think there's probably conversations that all these guys have with each other and how they want to play. I think probably with that line, it starts with Nick Bonino, a veteran guy, had a lot of success, looked up upon by the guys that he's playing with. I want to say he plays a pretty uncomplicated, pretty simple game, and it's, you know, pretty much straight ahead. I think from time to time you'll see somebody like Craig Smith with the skating ability doing a lot of east-west stuff, and I really think that Bonino has got Smitty, and Smitty realizes he's having more success going in a straight line. And if you remember the start of the season, I mean, Craig Smith didn't start off, very productive. He was kind of slow out of the gates, but, you know, again, you'd say in the second half of the season he's been as productive as any player that we've had, and they've all seemed to, you know, feed off of each other. And again, it's that chemistry that if we knew exactly what the answer was, we kind of copyright that and get that organized on every line, because I know even right now the coach is changing the lines a fair bit and just trying to find that chemistry. But you're correct, that's the one consistent line that we've had virtually all year long, and they seem to pretty much lead us every game.
Last thing, it just being in the room, it just feels different right now. It feels very loose. It feels close. It just has a different vibe here in the lately. David, and I know that's not really your job as the general manager, but you see things, you pop in, you talk to people. You know that you also need that vibe in a successful locker room, right? You have to have that chemistry. That's kind of part of your job of putting things together. With that being said, kind of going back to the deadline, that's always the tricky part, right? If you have to add or subtract from a room right now that feels like it's got a good vibe in it.
Yeah, actually, good point. Good. If it's a question, actually, a good thought process. And I feel it, too. I think the players do. And, I mean, there's no question of being on the show every week. If I've if I've mentioned once, I've mentioned 100 times that this has been a hard year, a difficult year. I've talked, unfortunately, about the fact that we're not playing as well as I think we should. On the other side of my mouth, I'm saying that I believe in this team. I know we have a good team, and a lot of things just haven't come together. So right now, you know, in the last couple of weeks, arguably this has been as close to what I think our team, you know, represents. And so you're right. So we talk specifically about the trading deadline. That gets to be a tricky situation. Are we all in, or should we do this? Should we do that? Even with the best of teams I've had, or there was probably always a little bit more clarity at this time. I mean, when I'm talking to, I'm not picking on him, but I say I'm talking to Tom Fitzgerald with New Jersey. He's got 100% clarity of what he's doing. But if it's Carolina who we're playing tonight, or teams like Calgary or Arizona that are 3 points ahead of us, I would say they don't have a lot of clarity at the moment. Yeah. So I'm just happy the way we played in the last few games, and I'm looking forward to tonight. And like I said earlier, that, you know, another win tonight just makes our room tighter, more confidence, more chemistry, and that's what we're going to do.
Real quick, David, Ryan Ellis is probably not in the game. It doesn't look like he's going to be in the game tonight, but just going along that, his leadership, he's been around the team on the road trip. Mm-hmm. That probably helps a lot. These next couple days, I guess, with the team being able to practice more, maybe another chance to take some baby steps forward for him?
Well, I hope so. And, again, we've talked about this before. I mean, he has a concussion, and as I said, you have a broken leg, and your doctor says you're 90%, and probably you can play. But with a concussion, you got to be 100%. So Ryan's looking really, really good. I think conditioning-wise, he's ready to go. We just have to get that clearance. I want to believe that we're really, really close, but, you know, I don't have the symptoms that he has, so as soon as he's cleared, he should be ready to go. I really believe we're getting really close, though.
Yeah. And we don't have the crystal ball that or the eight ball that we were throwing out there earlier.
We should get that.
Maybe that could clear us up.
I wish I had my eight ball from when I was a kid.
I made a lot of decisions with that eight ball when I was younger.
I really did.
Yeah.
I don't know if it worked out, but I made a lot of decisions off of it.
But the eight ball, too, you ask a question, you want the yes or no, and it comes out with, well, very unlikely.
Yeah. It doesn't always give you the clear answer. It doesn't always
give
you the clear answer.
David Poyle make a trade?
Hazy. Okay.
Hazy.
Outlook is hazy.
I wanted to know, I said on the show I was disappointed in the Cassian suspension. I would have liked it to have been a little bit more. I know it didn't affect you guys. It wasn't a game you were involved in. I just think there's no room for that in the game. Were you disappointed that it wasn't a little bit stronger?
There is no room in the game for that. It's a terrible optical thing, and I mean, you can just imagine if there was an injury on the play, or you know, if the player had been falling towards him when he made that kicking motion. So, we have to talk about suspensions. You know, when we have our meetings in a couple of weeks, the GM's meetings, and you know, it appears to me that we have a little bit of a box for suspensions, that it's not. Everything falls into like 1 to 7, it appears, because that's been the most lengthy suspension for a while. But then on the other hand, you see players like Evander Kane coming out and basically deriding the Department of Player Safety, saying that they're doing a poor job. You know, that's one player's opinion. But so it's hard, and I think it's partially for the managers to give direction and, you know, find out and try to see what the box is for a one-game suspension, a two-game suspension. I mean, there's enough history now of all these things, and to see what we want. And if we don't like it, and, you know, to your point, if there's the majority of people that think that a Cassian action should be more than 7 games, then it's up to us to tell the Department of Safety that we want that to be 10 games or whatever the results should be. So I really believe that'll be a topic on our agenda for the general manager's meetings.
I just don't want to see it takes a bad injury to send a strong message, right? We don't need that.
No, absolutely. And it's the same thing what's happened here. We've been, with our team, we've had two bad injuries and based on suspensions of other players, the Bertuzzo with St. Louis on Arvidsson, and then the Corey Perry hit with Ellis. You know, two players that missed lots of times, and obviously it's affected Arvidsson's year, and Ellis has been out over a month and a half right now, and that's been tough sledding for us without him. So, you know, where is the fairness in this? And that's hard to come to find out. But I think it's our job to try to make sure that at least the majority of the managers are happy with the suspension. So I'm pretty sure the casting thing will get brought up at our meetings.
Good to see you as always. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, guys. See you tonight.
Weekly chat with David Poile, Predators general manager. We appreciate him stopping by. We will continue on. The other side, Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. How's your jump these days?
My jump?
Yeah.
I mean, I got a lot of jump.
Do you?
I feel like I come into the show
you
with
got
a lot
good
of
jump.
Jump.
Okay. That's good.
I can't jump.
That. Credit card vertical?
Yeah.
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 It's all right.
Look, they made a movie about me. White men can't jump. So.
Appreciate David Poile for stopping by.
You're welcome.
The table, as always, brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura in Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Good conversation with him. It is going to be tricky. And I meant what I said, by the way. I don't know if you've picked up on that. I'm struggling right now because I sense and I feel things are different, mm-hmm. and that's all in a good way.
Yep.
It's all in a positive way. I have a hesitation because we're 59. This is game 59. Okay, we're 58 games into the season, and I hesitate a little. It's kind of like Frogger, right? There's still traffic, and I'm trying to navigate, and I don't want to get hit by the bus. But it feels different. It looks different. It feels different. It's three games, but I'm just telling you right now. I'm like right there, going, I think they've turned a corner. I think this is going the direction. Everybody's wanted it to go, you know, for the last 58 games we've been talking about it, right? Or I guess I should say the last 55 because things have felt different in this three-game winning streak. But the room is in a good place right now. That's my observation. It's in a really, really good place right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you and I are in there a lot, and especially for me after games, and there's a difference. There's a calming, but not in the sense of, oh, all is well and we're good now. No, it's more of just they feel more at peace of where they are. Like they're on the scene. And I brought this up at the beginning of the interview with David Poile of it just feels like John Hines is on the same page with the players. The players are now on the same page with him. And you didn't expect that right away. That's why you make a coaching change at the point in which they made the change. You have to give it some time. And so David Poile had time to evaluate and, you know, what he wants to do. And so now you kind of feel like things have started going in the right direction. With all that said, I want to continue to see it. I got to see it again.
Yeah.
You know, a three-game winning streak is nice. Let's make it a four-game winning streak.
Right.
And then a five. And then a six, you know. And you're not going to win out. You're not going to win.
Seven of eight.
Right.
You know, eight of ten.
Right.
That type of deal.
That's what they have to do because, you know, for those of you that don't pay as close attention to things as we do. Last night, you know, was kind of a big night in the West. I mean, you have you now have a little bit more of a gap. The Predators were 1 point out of the wild card spot. Well, now they're three because Arizona and Calgary all won their games. So they have 68 points. The Preds sit at 65. You got to stay on pace. So you got to win tonight, and you're 1 point back again. So even though they have games in hand, and those are valuable, you still want to keep up right now. You can't get too far behind. So 1 point back is going to feel a lot better than 3 points back or however many points it's going to be before the Predators play again, which would be Friday night. So you got to keep the pace going, got to keep this momentum going.
I'm anxious to also see if they can get rid of that Carolina stat that has had all of us scratching our head under Peter Laviolette. It was like, how are they – not have any success against the Hurricanes, and until obviously last year they made the run to the Eastern Conference Final. It's a Carolina team that hasn't been very good over the years.
Yeah.
They've had more down than good, and so that stat made no sense. So new head coach, maybe new stat. I'd like to see them start getting on track with a Carolina team tonight. And This will be the first four-game winning streak since they beat Chicago on October 29th.
Wow.
That was the last time they strung together four – well, it was the only time they strung together four consecutive wins. They beat Chicago here on October 29th, and that was four wins in a row. Almost made it five. It was the Calgary game on Halloween night. Don't need to bring that up. We all know what happened. And then things took a turn after that Calgary game. But they're looking to do something they haven't done since October 29th. And here's the deal. I talked to a bunch of them this morning, including Craig Smith, and you'll hear that interview in pregame. Had a really good conversation with him. They're aware of that stat, by the way. They know.
Sure.
They know.
They pay attention.
They know about the three games and the four games. So we'll see how that translates tonight. But I'm just giving you my observation. It looks and it feels different on the ice. It looks and feels different in the room right now.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you this, though. You look at the standings in both the Central and the Pacific Division. I couldn't tell you who's going to win either one of those. I mean, for the longest time, it was you kind of felt good about St. Louis or Colorado. Well, all of a sudden, Dallas is there. They're tied for the division lead with St. Louis. You know, the Predators mathematically aren't out of it by any means. You put one of these streaks together that we're talking about, and all of a sudden they're in the mix. And then you got the Pacific with Edmonton and Vegas tied at 70, and 1 point back is Vancouver, 2 points back, Calgary and Arizona. So it's a tight race as the trade deadline approaches, and I think that makes it even more difficult for these general managers of, okay, we're all jumbled, we're all right there together. You have so many teams that are still in it. Like, it's not just the Preds. It's Winnipeg. They're alive. Minnesota's hanging on. Chicago's hanging on. And then there's kind of a drop-off. But it's going to be a fun ride to the end in the West if things hold together. And I don't see any reason why they won't hold together right now.
The top three teams in the Central are separated by a point.
Yes.
The top three teams in the Pacific are separated by a point.
Yes.
If that doesn't paint the picture of how tight things are.
And then the top two wild cards, Calgary and Arizona, are 2 points.
They're 1 point out of the top three.
Yeah, and then 2 points out of the lead. And then the Preds, of course, sit with 65. So
that is crazy.
You know, look, it's –
think how tight that is.
Got a chip, chip, chip. But as we've said, you know, you win five, six in a row, or seven of eight or eight of ten or whatever – you're all of a sudden back in the conversation.
We'll come back and wrap up the second hour on the other side. Jamie Little will kick off the third hour with us. We'll head down. She was there at Daytona, the Daytona 500. She interviewed Denny Hamlin when he got out of the car, but we'll talk to Jamie Little coming up at noon. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, we'll talk to Jamie Little coming up at noon, Scott Burnside at 1 as we get 6 days away from the trading deadline. Drew Brees has made it official, and he's announced that he will indeed be back with the Saints next year. So that is out there. If you were watching hockey last night, and I was watching the Vegas Capitals game. Vegas held on for the win. They were up 3-0, and, boy, Washington was pushing, man. They got dangerously close to tying it up late. But the Golden Knights got the win, and it feels like, one, Vegas and Nashville have been kind of going down the same path a little bit all year. Vegas seems like they've made their coaching change. It's starting to come together for them, too. That's what at least it feels like. Also, Shea Weber is expected to play tonight for the Canadiens. Like, how weird is that story that when it first came out about his injury, and now he's supposed to play tonight? And oh, by the way, Robbie Stanley put out there that from NHL.com and Morning Drive here on 102.5 The Game, that if Shea Weber plays tonight and plays the rest of their games leading up to the first day of April, it's not an April Fool's joke, the Predators host the Canadiens here on April 1st, that would be Shea Weber's 1,000th game.
Yeah, and that would be so cool.
It could be a huge game for the Predators, depending on the situation. But that's what, the second or third to last game of the season.
Yep.
So imagine the possibilities there of, you know, you win and you're in, you know, win trying to get up a notch in the seeding. You know, there's a lot of things that could be happening. Win to stay alive, all of these things. So could be a lot of drama. But Elliot Friedman, I thought, really did a good job of explaining all the circumstances that were going on with his injury. It's kind of a mysterious thing. It was hard to diagnose. What did he say? There was too much swelling to get a read on it from an MRI, so I think some people feared the worst. But then once they got all the information, obviously it wasn't as bad. So you know Shea Weber. All he needs is the go-ahead from the doctor. He's going to be in there. He is a competitor.
Well,
even though his team is probably out. I mean, there's probably some people up there saying, why play
are you doing
him?
This? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because you're better off just saving him, having him fresh for next year.
It definitely would be cool, though, if he can play these next, 19 games, and then that 20th will be game 1,000. It'd be here where he played game number one. So I think or against the team he played. I don't know if his first game was at home, but I think that'd be really cool. And you know that there would be an extra little extra energy in the crowd with that one. So we'll see. But Shea Weber, tough guy. You can never take him out, it seems.
One of the late games last night was after Vegas and Washington. In fact, they were doing kind of check-ins on it. It was a good one in Denver as the Avalanche were hosting the Lightning. And the Lightning, we know, have just been out of their minds on fire over the last several months. Lightning are now 40-15-5 on the season. I mean, it is unbelievable where they were the first month and a half of the season to where they are right now. But they won in overtime. Kucherov had the overtime winner. But in that game, it not only did the Avalanche lose, they did get a point, but they may have come at a cost too. A little bit on the injury front.
Yeah.
One of their top
Rantanen.
Guys.
Rantanen appears to be out for weeks, is what the report says. So that is not good for them. And, look, they've had to deal with some injuries at times this year, and it hasn't hurt them too bad. But, as we play the standings watch game, and, Willie, we were just talking about this when you had to go back downstairs, of just how tight things are right now. Colorado's 1 point out of being tied for the lead for the Central with 73, 2 points obviously from having it outright. But things are really, really tight right now in both divisions, and you have one of the better players for Colorado that's going to be out for weeks, as it says.
And on the heels of already losing Nazem Kadri, a really solid third-line center, checking center, that's going to be out for a while. He's been out. And their goalie went down in the outdoor game in Grubauer. So they have been kind of – it's vague on how long he's going to be out. So a lot of people are wondering, is this going to change their mindset at the trading deadline? Because you have 5 days now to make a move if you want to make one. After that, there's no moves to make other than the ones within your organization. So will they trade for a goalie? That would tell you how bad the injury is to Philip Grubauer. So they got issues. And that might seep into on this homestand. The Predators have 6 out of 7. They obviously go up to Chicago for the up and back, but Colorado is one of the teams that will visit here coming up.
Indeed, they will. It's the last game of the month, 29th of February. We usually don't get 29 days in February. This year we do. A little leap year, and it will be against Colorado. Toffoli, by the way, in that Stadium Series game in Colorado Springs on Saturday night at Air Force, Toffoli registered the first ever outdoor game hat trick.
Oh, wow.
And he was rewarded by getting traded to Vancouver.
Hey, not a bad place.
Probably upped his stock a little bit.
Yeah, not a bad place. And they got a lot for him, too.
L.A. got a little bit of a haul for him. So
L.A. has got one of the best farm systems going right now. They are winning a lot of the awards and most prospects. So that is where their mindset is to get good when all those guys come around. It might still be another year or two away before, depending on how quickly they blossom, but they love their minor league system.
We will come back and start the third hour with Jamie Little, who was a part of Fox Sports broadcast yesterday for the Daytona 500. Of course, big part of their NASCAR coverage. We'll talk to Jamie and what last night was like, the ending to Daytona 500. We'll do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.